The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast. Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast for today. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. And fire away, Layla. What do we have?
We've got a question from Sheila. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, my husband has swollen ankles and feet with no other obvious symptoms. He's 76 years old, had a successful back operation with fusion in 2001. He has good health. Can you comment on this? And thank you for helping your listeners manage their health.
Well, swollen ankles requires a workup.
Yeah.
But presuming that he's had the workup,
Maybe it's like, he sits too long.
Well, I mean, let's look at what are the possibilities. I mean, if you have all of a sudden the onset of really swollen ankles and feet, you have to check your heart.
Yeah.
That can be a sign of congestive heart failure. Mm. Alternatively, you have to measure your albumin, because it could be a sign of liver disease when you have not enough albumin. But usually the swelling is body-wide there. It's not just in the feet. Alternatively, you could have a blood clot, especially if it's on one side and not on the other. That would prevent the return of blood.
Wow.
And we've seen some cases of this. It could even be a sign of a cancer, because a cancer can block circulation. That could be, you know, ovarian cancer in a woman pressing on the inferior vena cava, which returns blood. Look, I don't want to freak people out. I'm just going through the litany of things that a doctor would be thinking about to make sure that that's not happening. But most likely, it's the most common cause of swelling of the lower extremities in older individuals, which is venous insufficiency.
Does that include the feet, too?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely includes the feet.
Okay.
And so, you know, as you get older, your valves in your veins, which actually have to work against gravity, become a little incompetent. They don't close or approximate as closely, and they allow blood flow to go back against the force of gravity.
Is it good to get those chairs that turn you upside down?
Yeah, just, you know, recumbent chairs. Mm-hmm. But, the other solution is get support stockings.
Oh, okay.
That should be used, because the more you let your leg swell, the more they'll revert to that permanent state. So you have to prevent that from getting worse. So you have to wear those support stockings. I know they're cumbersome in the summer. They're nice and warm in the winter. Get fitted for them, because it's better if you get fitted than if you just use something off the shelf. Vascular surgeons can help you with that. They can test to make sure that there's nothing else wrong.
Yeah.
And, and the other thing, of course, that I didn't mention is kidney disease. In kidney disease, you can also get a low protein, loss of protein in the urine, and you can have a low albumin, which will allow swelling to occur. But again, that causes generalized swelling and not just lower extremity swelling. So natural things, well, we talk about vein PF. That's a product we use. It contains diosmin, which is a potent bioflavonoid. Pycnogenol helps with swelling.
Yes.
Butcher's broom helps with swelling. Horse chestnut has actually been compared to compression stockings in some European studies, as efficacious.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And then the reason is because they're all substance P, which means they affect permeability.
Yeah.
Or leakage from the capillaries, which happens when there's a backflow and the capillaries allow some lymphatic flow or some fluid back into the
So Sheila's
tissue.
Husband needs a full workup first, and not just to some horse chestnut.
You can't tell from this letter. I mean, from this email.
Tell.
This email suggests that they've just told him that he's fine, and you have swollen feet and ankles without explaining it as we have.
Okay. Thank you for your question, Sheila. All right. We have another question. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I'm a longtime listener. I appreciate all the great information you share with the audience. I was wondering what your thoughts are about kombucha. I love the taste, but I noticed that the store brands contain either some sugar or stevia, and a bottle is 60 to 80 calories. Oh, my. Are there studies that show that is any more beneficial than a probiotic, like, say, Dr. O'Hara's? Thank you for your time. That wouldn't be better than a probiotic. Now, Here's the thing about kombucha.
When I read the commercials for Dr. O'Hara's, and I pronounce it Dr. O'Hara, they send it back to me. They say, pronounce it correctly. Okay.
So
a lot of people say, it doesn't matter. But
okay.
It's actually Dr. O'Hara.
Dr. O'Hara. Okay. Right. All right.
Okay. So you're not getting invitations to come to Japan.
No, I guess not. My apologies. Well, here's the deal about kombucha. It is generally a black or a green tea that's fermented, and generally fermented with some sugar or stevia. So it can taste sweet, but it does render an alcohol content anywhere from like 0.3% to 3%. So user beware a little bit. That's the amount of alcohol in a near beer or a wine cooler or a hard
cider or a hard
lemonade or whatever those drinks are that people are having. So you want to be careful.
Somebody gave me a bottle of rum the other day. It was 140 proof. That means it's 70% alcohol.
Don't drink that. That's dangerous. You'll go blind.
No. It wasn't. It's legal and it's not lethal. Yeah. You just have to calibrate it, because I just put in a splash and I thought I was going to make a mojito with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to pour out half of it and then just re-add water until finally it was palatable, because it was like drinking rubbing alcohol. It was
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So that's the deal with kombucha.
So what's this mother thing with the kombucha?
Oh, that's apple cider vinegar.
No, but there's a
mother in apple cider vinegar. That's like a cobwebby thing.
So, but there is in kombucha too.
Is there in kombucha?
Yeah.
So there's a mother. Okay.
Yeah, it's like this. It looks like a blob inside kombucha.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably the good stuff.
Well, what is that?
Well, it's the friendly bacteria. It's the probiotics and things.
It's sort of like a filamentous kind of thing that sits in the middle of it.
Yeah, you don't want that stuff filtered. You want to actually have that.
You want to have the mother.
You want to have the mother.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've actually, because the first time I saw kombucha is I had a health food store back in the, I guess it was in the 80s and 90s.
Uh-huh.
And we had this thing called kombucha, and it was like a big sensation. People come in and saying, like, oh, my God, how do you know that this isn't like rotten because it's got something floating in the middle of it? And they said, no, that's supposed to be there.
Yeah.
In true kombucha.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So enjoy this drink responsibly.
Right.
Because of the sugar and or the alcohol content. Okay. We have another...
But do you think it's better than other probiotics or just a different thing?
It's a different thing. I don't like that it's got a sugar or alcohol content in it. That's my only beef with it, honestly.
But I think the sugar is necessary for it to be a live thing.
That's true.
You know,
but if it's tasting sweet and it's going to trigger any craving, that could be a problem. That's my only beef with that.
It needs a carbohydrate to feed the fermentation.
That's right.
So in cabbage, for example, there is a little carbohydrate in cabbage that feeds that. But you always need a little... Fermentation requires a source of sugar.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I was trying to think of one of the other things. Water kefir. For those who are not having non-dairy kefir, there's water kefir. But that also requires the addition of sugar. And it tastes like lemonade.
Oh, wow.
Tastes like lemonade.
That's a product now available?
Yeah, or you could make it yourself. Yeah.
How about coconut kefir?
Coconut kefir is another thing that you could make. That, I don't know if that requires any
starter,
additional...
Well,
but I'm sure the coconut milk will already have that available in it.
Okay.
Inherent in it without having to add
I think
any
they
additional.
Sell it. It's like pre-made.
Probably.
You can make it yourself. But that would be a good thing for people who want to... That might be good for our colitis patients or patients who are sensitive to dairy.
Yes.
Put good bacteria back in.
Yeah. 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 Thank you for your question. We have another... Actually, we have a question from Richard. I had a colonoscopy and the doctor saw some irritation at the beginning of my large intestine such that he thought I was taking aspirin. I hadn't taken aspirin or any NSAIDs for weeks prior to the procedure, but I did take supplements. I'd been taking turmeric, which I read can upset the stomach, so I placed the blame with that. I'm now thinking of taking a citrus-derived supplement, bergamot, but I often get an upset stomach when I eat citrus fruit.
Yeah.
What can I do?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that because Look, you can have inflammation without aspirin or without supplements.
That's true.
A lot of people have GERD. And some of that's, could be stress-related. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
You have GERD. It could be related to other foods that this person's eating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unclear what the culprit is, whether
right.
it's the curcumin. Curcumin is actually anti-inflammatory, so it shouldn't be a problem.
Right.
But,
yeah.
you know, anytime we have a patient who has GERD and they're on a lot of supplements, we tell them to cut back, right?
Yeah.
We say, you know, because take it easy, because just the sheer burden of all these things. I mean, if you were to chew up your supplements in the mouth, it would be very sour, bitter, strong.
Yeah.
They're very concentrated. So maybe that all that stuff sitting there could, you know, maybe it's not the cause, but it could perpetuate in like some inflammation there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe cool it with the supplements for a while.
Yeah.
I can't tell you that based on, you know, whether he's sensitive to lemon, that bergamot would be bad. But
mm-hmm.
by the way, bergamot's a cholesterol lower.
That's true.
It's in our product, Cholestapure.
Yeah, and it's that beautiful essence in Earl Grey tea, favorite tea.
Which doesn't seem to cause upset stomach, does it?
I mean,
that's kind of a stomach settling tea.
Well, maybe black tea because it's acidic, but it wouldn't be because of the bergamot.
But, you know, generally in our GERD diet, don't we say coffee and decaf, no, but we might say black tea, okay?
Or? Not necessarily, no.
Okay.
Coffee and tea is gone. It's not the caffeine. It's the acid nature of...
No, coffee, but what about a tea? Tea is a little less irritating.
Herbals.
No.
Herbals are better,
okay.
But not peppermint.
Okay. Peppermint
will
relax the sphincter, relax
exactly.
the esophageal sphincter, cause
the reflux.
Reflux, okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for your question.
Folks, are we going too fast for you? Because when we sit down, we sort of riff off each other here. But, you know, hopefully you'll be able to glean some useful factoids about nutrition.
Yeah, oh gosh. We have a question from Susan. Many thanks for your podcasts, love them. I've been drinking Super Beets for...
And I might add, with the addition of your own individual podcast.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool, which has been very well received. And give us this, we'll take a break for a second.
Yeah.
What are some of the topics you've covered recently?
I've talked about whey protein. I'm talking about the importance of your dental health. This is something a lot of people overlook or take for granted completely. It's not just a matter of there's pain in your mouth, but if there's inflammation, if there's gum disease, that's related to diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and even dementia. So... important
like
to take care of dental health.
Welcome to the University of Intelligent Medicine.
Yeah.
You know, virtually every subject imaginable will eventually be covered. So if
right.
you listen faithfully, you will pick up a good deal of nutritional knowledge.
Yeah. We've got a question from Susan here. I've been drinking Super Beets for several months, and at last check, the lowest blood pressure in years, 110 over 70. Prior to Super Beets, the readings were in the 130 range.
Right.
What is the difference between lowering blood pressure with beets rather than amlodipine? Is it a safer alternative?
The answer is better with beets.
It's better with beets.
I'll tell you why.
Different mechanism.
I'll tell you why. Amlodipine, like many drugs, is designed to... Well, drugs work in two main ways. They either block or augment some chemical pathway in the body,
mm-hmm.
okay? But in a very targeted and rather artificial way.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing like amlodipine on the, you know, in the natural realm, you
mm-hmm.
know, that in terms of supplements. So is it sort of a unique mechanism that there's a calcium channel blocker.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... You know, magnesium is a natural calcium channel blocker, but it works in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with calcium channel blockers, there's a lot of side effects. There's constipation, there's swelling of the ankles,
mm-hmm.
Other problems can occur because they don't usually just work on one thing. They may work on the blood vessels, but they'll also work on some other organs. There's some off-target effects that create side effects.
Mm-hmm.
With beets, you know, you're getting basically equivalent of beet juice. And beet juice is a concentrate of nitrates, which you get from foods.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a natural mechanism by which the body produces nitric oxide.
Mm-hmm.
And many of us don't eat enough of these types of foods because
they
find them a little unpalatable, you know, and we don't have our greens, you know, other sources of nitric oxide, spinach, and
mm-hmm. Celery.
collard greens, yeah. you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't eat enough of those things, and so we can boost our intake of mustard greens are also
mustard
a source.
Mustard greens, sure.
But who eats
a lot
that?
Of the greens.
Who eats that?
I mean, I do.
You're hardcore.
I'm hardcore.
Yeah. I mean, not that many people. This is a great time of year
greens.
For that, isn't it, by the way?
Yeah.
It's like
I
in the fall,
all
that
greens.
Stuff comes in. It's the market is beautiful
yeah.
this time of year,
yeah.
those outdoor markets. But people don't eat enough of that stuff.
That's true.
Turnip greens. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You know, mm-hmm. so people don't eat enough of that stuff. So
even
you can,
beet greens.
Right.
But
people have a jaded palate. They find that bitter, unpalatable. So we can make it convenient and more accessible mm-hmm. by telling people to consume super beets or to consume, you know, a beet powder.
Right.
And that is, you know, it will lower blood pressure in a more benign way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole principle of natural medicine. It's like if you could take magnesium for anxiety, isn't that better than a Xanax?
Absolutely. You know, it's not habit-forming.
Right.
It's,
and
and
most of us are low in magnesium anyway.
That's true. I want to remind Susan that an excellent way to lower your blood pressure is to lose 5-7% of your weight.
Right.
If you are possibly slightly overweight or if you're not getting enough exercise.
Well, how's that better than amlodipine?
Yeah. And get a little more cardio going on rather than strength training. Strength training is wonderful and we need it, especially as we get older, so we don't become feeble. However, cardio really does its job with blood pressure.
I haven't asked you lately, what is your cardio right now?
What is my cardio?
Your cardio.
Oh, my cardio, it's more yoga. It's more
yoga.
Yeah.
No?
I concentrate more on yoga and strength training than cardio. But, you know, I'll do 100 squats.
You do?
But that's my strength training. That's not really cardio.
It's just squats with weights or squats on a...
No, just squats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You do a lot of walking, though. You commute a lot.
I do.
So we New Yorkers, we take it for granted. I mean, you've got to walk to the subway,
mm-hmm.
and then you take subway, then you transfer, and that's another walk.
Right.
And then you get off, and you have to walk some more.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe you log a couple of miles commuting every day.
That's true. Well, maybe, yeah. I always take the stairs. We have an elevator in my building, but I always take the stairs, even if I'm carrying a 30-pound bag of laundry. Mm-hmm. And I'll sprint up the stairs. And here's the other thing, though. Now that you mentioned exercise, in between the weight training...
Can you do my laundry this week?
What's that?
Can you do my laundry this week?
Yeah.
I'll just bring it to the...
I drop it off. I don't do it. I drop it off, and then I pick it up, and I walk up the stairs with it. Between the strength training, I'll do sun salutations, which is very aerobic.
Yes.
So I don't rest between the 100 squats. I go right into sun salutations.
Right. That's what's called.
Then I'll go into...
It's called circuit training.
Yeah, so by the time, at the end of 20, 25 minutes, I'm beat red.
That's circuit training, and your heart rate is up. So there's an aerobic component to this. Yeah.
Right,
okay.
Right. So that's how I do my aerobics.
It's not just really gentle, light yoga, you know, which is good too, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, you know, and because you walk the talk, but, you know, all our patients, when they see you, you sort of major in nutrition, but you also minor in exercise.
Yeah.
You've studied principles of exercise, so you also encourage them to create a structured exercise program.
The reason I'm such a fan of yoga, but you know, with all the squats and lunges that we do, but when you get into Warrior II position, for those of you who know what Warrior II is, and you're in it for 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes, your thigh is on fire. There is some scientific research to suggest that this is actually more strengthening than doing all your repetitions of lunges. So
warrior
I kind of do both.
Is that when you sort of put your hands out in front of you?
Yeah,
you're doing
warrior like this.
Oh, I see. Got it. Okay.
So you're kind of down. And there's also crescent pose, which is...
Well, people can't see what you're doing.
This
but
way,
it,
I know.
You, but what you, your arms are spread out and your legs are...
Exactly.
Are, and like, so you look like sort of an X...
One of your legs is at a 90-degree angle. Your thigh is perpendicular to the floor, 90-degree angle.
Okay.
And you stay there, and you breathe through it all, and you stay as long as you can.
Right, you breathe through the it's painful.
Yeah.
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 But you breathe into it, and then it relaxes the muscle, and it's a good stretch.
Because it's stretching and strengthening and chilling out all in one, and I don't know of anything else that does all that. So...
Well, the nice thing about yoga is that you get into uncomfortable positions, in effect, but you then breathe into them so that they become natural and comfortable, and you extend your range of motion.
Yeah, it's good to keep your joints lubricated, cerebrospinal fluid, keep meridians open, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, time for one quick question.
One quick question. On my recent trip to China, this comes from Paul, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. On my recent trip to China, I noticed that I tend to wake up in the middle of the night quite often with a dry mouth in need of water. I stay well hydrated.
There's all that salty food.
It's probably right,
it's
all that soy sauce.
It's going to take a month to rinse that out.
I believe I stay well hydrated throughout the day, and I was quite surprised that my wife, who also tends not to drink as much fluid as me, does not suffer from a dry mouth. Why is this happening? It could be the food.
Too much MSG.
Too much MSG could be it.
Look, I can't, I don't know what to say here.
Yeah, Paul is on a good diet.
Paul's wife went and did not have this problem?
No.
Okay.
No, and she's not nearly as hydrated as he is. And
well, you know, let's say a person were to come to the doctor's office with that complaint, we would suggest a workup by an ear, nose, and throat doctor.
Yeah. I want to know what medications he's on medications that could cause dry mouth.
Many medications cause dry mouth.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes salivary duct problems cause dry mouth. Also, people sometimes perceive a dry mouth if they have an oral yeast infection. Often that gets to the point where it's burning and it's difficult to swallow. We've actually had one patient who was a cancer patient. He thought he was dying because he'd lost his appetite completely, couldn't eat.
That's right.
And actually it wasn't the cancer. It was that he was so immunosuppressed from the chemo that he had an oral thrush. We treated it. And all of a sudden he started eating again and he regained his strength. So, got to look at these little small things.
Yeah. So, Paul, maybe check in with your doctor or check the side effects of maybe some of your medications. But this is only happening in China and obviously not at home, so check in with your doctor. Or it could be all the salty food.
Or
it could be.
Go see Chinese doctor.
Go see Chinese doctor.
Do we get unusual questions here? Yes,
we really do. It's
okay,
fun.
I think that pretty much caps it off for today's Q&A with Layla. That's a good appropriate end to it. If you want to send questions, radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions, and we welcome them, and we'd love to tackle them on your behalf. And we also ask that you take a look at our Hoffman Center store, wherein you can find many of the supplements that we talk about in this program. And this program is free. We love doing it as public service, but we also would be very happy if you helped to underwrite the costs of production by patronizing the Hoffman Center store. You'll get great supplements, and you'll continue to get great free information via Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks, Layla, for joining us.
Thank you.
And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.